Welcome to the We Are Seek and Strike podcast. Here are your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Welcome back to the Hive. I, of course, am your host, Seth Bidoff, and we are coming to you live tonight from Roadrunner Law Firm, and we're going to be bringing you the latest on New Mexico United. On tonight's show, we're going to break down the match against Phoenix Rising FC. We're going to take a look ahead to RGV. We're going to check in on our EPL clubs, and we're going to look at a whole lot more. But before we jump into tonight's show, we do have a little housekeeping to get through first. First and foremost, that song you heard at the top of the show was, of course, Humor Me by the band California Redemption. If you enjoyed that song, be sure to check out the band over on Bandcamp. That is California with a K. Of course, if you are listening live, which of course you may not be tonight, you can send in a text to our text line at 505-377-8706. And you can, of course, text us throughout the week and we will get your questions for the show. As always, our show is brought to you by our wonderful sponsors, Roadrunner Law Firm and Doral Motors. And we still want to welcome our newest sponsor, The Salt Yard. Stop by The Salt Yard for cornhole, foosball, ping pong, and other games. Whether you're playing a game or watching the game on one of our 55 big screen TVs, you're bound to have a blast. The Salt Yard does have two locations. The newest one is over on the west side. We do our watch parties over at the east side location, which is on Osuna Road. For hours, locations, and more information, you can check them out at thesaltyardnm.com. When we are back around the table, we've got a full house tonight. Joining me tonight, as always, to my right, Josh Carrillo. Josh, how you doing?
How's it going there, Seth?
Oh, man, it's I'm good. You know, it's for those of you that are listening to the show, you know we've been had a couple weird weeks, you know,
yeah.
Illnesses and family matters to attend to, you know. So we're back. You know, it feels good to be back. We're doing this. Josh, I know we were talking a little bit of football before the actual American football before the show.
We don't talk about the Broncos.
Yeah, Broncos, that was kind of rough yesterday.
Disgusting.
Yeah, my team didn't look much better. The Falcons, of course. You know, I don't know. I can't quite figure out what's going on with our teams.
We suck. That's...
I mean, you said it.
We let it go. We lost to a backup porn star.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's what Gardner Minshew is.
Gardner Minshew, the mustache. You know, first Manny Padilla, now Gardner. You know,
it's the stash.
It's got to be the stash. So mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm excited.
That's right. My support's behind the Seahawks now. If Chris can jump ships and teams, I can jump ships too.
Hey man,
since I coach the Seahawks, I can jump ships.
Hey man, I got a jersey for you.
I already got a Russell Wilson jersey. Thank you, sir.
Josh has brought him in, Chris. Chris, how are you, my man?
Doing good, man. It's good to see you. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to be back. You know, tough couple weeks, and so just trying to get back to life and normalcy and
as much as possible.
Yeah, as much as possible. You know, I wasn't gonna bring it up, but you know, my grandmother passed away after.
Yeah, we're sorry to hear that, man.
After a decade long battle with cancer, she'd been cancer free twice. Came back, and this last time it just, you know, she got sick, and it was quick. Like, no, we didn't know how long she had. They told it could be days, weeks, months. They didn't know, and within a matter of 72 hours she was gone. So, you know, flew out and got to go see my family and spend time with them. So, you know, yeah, it's good to be back. Couple weeks, we haven't been able to talk really a whole lot. Chris, we saw Phoenix Saturday night.
Yeah,
a lot to get to on there. I mean,
we have to.
We're definitely going to dive into that. But first, you know, how are your Raiders?
Raiders won.
Surprisingly,
they beat the Colts. So that's two wins in a season. So
check the weather.
My snow in October in New Mexico.
It's snowing in Nevada.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wow. Reno is snowing.
That's crazy.
I don't know who bet me that the Raiders wouldn't win at least four matches this year, or four games. So I guess I'll be doing pretty good here in about 3 weeks.
About 3 weeks, I don't know. We have to look at the schedule and see what's going on with that. But I think once they get into conference play, it's going to be a little different story. But.
I just don't know who would bet someone that they wouldn't win four games. I mean, that's a gimme.
Maybe it's the John Gruden system. Maybe it's, you know, the quarterback you guys got. Maybe it's the fact that, you know, AB is now out of football completely and gone back to community college.
I'm okay with it.
You know, all that drama's done and over with, hopefully, for your sake.
Yeah.
You know, I know were, you know, stressed and losing some of the hair you had left up there.
But. Yeah, you know, Josh Jacobs, man, Josh Jacobs.
You know, that's a whole mess in and of itself. But We'll keep our show moving right along. We're not here to talk American football. Also with us tonight is Alicia. Alicia, how are you? Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. I'm just trying to get over a cold.
As are we all. Cold season. Oh man, I think we talked about it the last time I was here. You know, the kids being back in school and everything. Something's going around. I finally just about kicked this cough. I don't know if it's the same thing you're dealing with.
Oh, but no, it's my throat. My ears are popping. And then, you know, the Phoenix game, I was screaming my lungs out. So that really didn't help either.
Yeah, no doubt. And I see, I'm sorry. We talked about, why are you wearing UGA?
Because go Bulldogs.
No.
Go Dogs.
You know they're not going to win a national championship, right?
That's true.
Hey, but I still got my NFL team, the Niners, 3-0.
Yeah. Liners looking good.
Okay. So. I mean, now you're striking out. There's nobody to help you.
We talked about this with Dallas. We talked about this with New England. Who have you played?
The Steelers, Bengals, and the Bucks. The last night, the Bucks beat the Rams, so
the Bucks,
that was an upset.
The Chargers. No, it was the Rams. You're right. It was the Rams. They tore
that's
up the Rams.
That's legitimate. That
performance by
the Rams.
Jameis?
One out of three.
How in the world did Jameis pull this out? I have no idea. He
stole some more crab legs.
I think he's trying to grow the stash, you know, just like Minshew over there. But who knows? You know, we could sit here and talk football and baseball. But baseball playoffs are starting. The Dodgers are going to lose in the first round. So, you know.
Won't happen.
We could talk so many other things. But, of course, we've got Phoenix Rising FC. 2-2 Saturday night. United blew a 2-0 lead. Early goal from Dev.
Sorry, choking.
That's one way to put it. You know, Dev had an early goal. Schmidt got a goal in front of his mom. I think that was a fantastic night for him. And then super sub Joey Calistri comes in and nails an absolute improbable shot. I was trying to find some way to do, you know, the XG calculation online, but I couldn't find a website that would let me do it, but that had to have been like a less than 1% shot that he hit, the first one. And then the second one, again, another low percentage shot, you know, off of, in that situation. You know, and they came back late. I mean, you know, it's that's what teams like Phoenix do. You know, I said it, you know, on social media, on Reddit, and I said, you know, clubs like Phoenix, the league leaders, you know, looking at the run that they've been on, 20 straight matches, historic run in the USL, they get the bounces, they get the calls, you know, sometimes they get a little bit lucky, and I think they definitely got a lot lucky Saturday night. United definitely should have walked away with 3 points from this match,
yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot going on that we have to dive into. I mean, we found out, you know, an hour before the match that Cody Mizell was not going to be in the starting lineup. Wasn't even on the team sheet, and the club signed on a short-term deal. Mike Grasic, director of goalkeepers for the club, signed him to a short-term deal. He did previously play professionally, so it's not like, you know, he doesn't know anything. You know, and Troy joked about it on Saturday night out in the post-match. So Ben Bowery saw his first competitive action of the season. You know, we last saw him against Cardiff City, and I think Ben did a phenomenal job. He wasn't really tested by Phoenix at all. You know, he had two saves. I think it was two saves in the first half. I mean, Phoenix was off target for the most part. And just absolutely unlucky that those two goals went in against Ben. We saw the return of Salih. Salih was in the middle. Sam was in the midfield again, you know, with Santi being out on suspension. Dev and Kev both started. We saw Sam being in the middle, we saw Rashid and Justin in the back, and I can't praise those two guys enough. I mean, we in our previews, you know, we talked about Solomon Asante, Golden Boot leader in the USL. Adam John, he's sitting fifth in the Golden Boot race right now. Between the two of them, they have 37 goals, and those two guys are going to be the key to stopping Phoenix. And I don't think you can say anything other than we stopped them. We stopped those two guys. They each had one shot on target the entire night. You stop the two of them, and then you got Mr. Improbable Shot, Joey Calistri, coming up and making two big goals for Phoenix. So much to jump into. Like, what are we going to start? Do we want to start with the lineup? Do we want to start with Ben's performance? Do we want to? Start us off here.
Let's just go from the top. Let's just start off with the lineup. So Kevin and Dev up top. Obviously, Beery's in. We have what? Weehan. So my question to you, and really it's open to both of you, is what do you think of this starting 11 going against Phoenix?
I mean, given who we had available, I think it was fine. Yeah, no. I had heard from someone else up in the box that Peter had gone on the radio early Saturday and said that Cody was going to be. He'd been dealing with a foot injury for a while. He wasn't on the match notes we got, so it was kind of a shock to see him not in there. Again, I think Ben did fantastic. You know, you can't ask much more. He looked ready. He looked good. Dev and Kev, you know, having them both in there, I think it goes back to what I've said before. I think it's better to have one of them in there. So, you know, and then with that link-up play with Bees in the middle. But, of course, without Santi, you've got to make those adjustments.
Right.
I mean, Alicia, what do you think? Who do you think performed the best out of this modified lineup that we saw?
Well, it was my first time seeing Ben, and I didn't get a chance to go to the Cardiff match, but at first I was kind of worried about Ben, mm-hmm. and then, maybe half an hour into the first half, I really liked how Ben played. He did an amazing job for being his first time out there in the league start, and I also liked Salih on the wing. Mm-hmm. He was really good, and I feel like with Santi on the left wing and Sully on the right, I think it'd be a good matchup. And put Weehan on top instead of Frater.
Do you want like a 4-4-1-1?
4-4-2.
4-4-2?
Yeah. Because Putty in the back, too. I mean, come on. He has these great assists, and he can't take them out.
Manny had that killer cross.
Yeah.
The last few weeks, Manny's just been killing it. And, you know, for Dev's first goal, I mean, Manny just drilled it in from the right wing. They were, of course, heading towards the first baseline mm-hmm. Saturday night to open the match. And just put it where only Dev could get it. And Dev stuck his left foot out and just, you know, put it in. Manny's play has been incredible the last month or so.
It has.
And so has Dev's. I mean, they've both really stepped up, you know, especially with Troy managing Kevon's play time right now with him being in danger of picking up that two-match suspension. You know, after last week's match, he did have a yellow card rescinded, but he picked up another one Saturday night. Now, of course, we could all argue, and I saw nothing on the replays that showed that Kev even deserved a yellow card.
It was Weehan's.
I thought it was Hamilton's.
Sam's wasn't deserved. Kev's wasn't deserved.
Yeah.
I mean, it just goes, again, you know, one of the things that we've kind of joked about before is how Asante dives, you know, how he somehow gets his...
And the Academy Award for flopping goes to...
Exactly. Asante. You know, the foul that he won, where they gave the yellow card to Sam was absolutely ridiculous. You know, there was nothing in it at all. And then when Kev got his, there was nothing there.
Well, no, because what happened with Kev's was that Chris had pushed the guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, like, real quick in the scuffle, they all just turned on Kevon and just made it like it was him.
Yeah, the ref didn't even know what's going on. Yeah. So.
Yeah. And so United ended up with 4 yellow cards to Phoenix's 1, which I think was absolutely ridiculous. Going back and watching the match and seeing the way the play, you know, went about, you know, Phoenix could have had at least 2 or 3 others. And, you know, we were talking from the box with, you know, a friend of the show, I think it was Andrew Gunn I was talking with, you know, and we agree that Adam John possibly could have had a second yellow, you know, in the first half and been sent off.
Yeah, he was definitely already, like, jumping at the bit. I mean, Phoenix, mainly him, he was pretty much just drawing fouls left and right. I mean, what he got is yellow in 13 minutes in, so,
yeah.
I mean, he was already setting the tone.
Yeah, it was definitely a very physical match. You know, third time through, we talked about this with Troy after the Colorado match. It's not often you get to play a club 3 times. And so I was doing a lot of reading prior to this match, and I read some outlets, including USLChampionship.com. You know, John Arlia, we've interacted with him on Twitter a little bit, tried to get him to come down and talk with us, and we'd love to get him on the podcast. He basically wrote off United in this match, completely wrote off United. You know, I think other places had done that as well, saying that there wasn't any chance that we were going to win this match or even pick up a point from this match.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at the history between the two, Phoenix has not had not beaten us in two prior matches. In fact, you know, the first match we had the lead three times, we conceded three times, two very poor penalties in that first match.
Mm-hmm.
Second time around, you know, that was a 3-3 draw. Second time around, the Open Cup was 2-2 draw. We beat Phoenix on PKs.
Yeah, no, we didn't have to lead on that one, right? I mean, Devin got that second one in extra time.
Yeah, those were Dev's.
We were screaming into our lungs at the Salt Yard.
Yeah, well, we had the lead, and then we conceded in regulation. Right. They scored again in extra, then Devin got the second.
You got to think of it this way, Seth. The announcers, while watching the game on ESPN, said it perfectly. They said no matter what sport it is, there's always that one team that plays the other team the best.
Yeah.
And just happens to be us with Phoenix. Phoenix can destroy anybody else, but when they come against New Mexico, it seems like they struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's good because that just means that we can hang with the best of the best. And this isn't a poor team. It's just how we execute in the game that hurt us the most.
Yeah.
Now, does Phoenix – name one team that Phoenix does not want to see in the playoffs.
Us.
Us.
Yeah.
Because they know that we can hang with them. Now, we would have to go over there, unfortunately, to play, but they already know that we've been there twice, nodded with them once, and beat them in a shootout the second time. So they know that they're cheering for the other teams right now to beat us because they do not want to see us in the playoffs.
No, absolutely. You know, I went back. I was looking at the stats. So Phoenix has now conceded 30 goals on the season, one of the best defenses in the league. Five of those goals are to us. We have put more goals on Phoenix this season than any other club in the Western Conference. Unless I miscounted somewhere, the most any other club has scored against them is three.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think they have something like 14 clean sheets, 15 clean sheets on the season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've scored five of the 30 goals in league play against Phoenix this season. You know, do we play up to Phoenix? Absolutely. Do they play down a little bit? Probably. You know, but...
Well, and here's the thing to remember, though, right, is that we've beat two Major League Soccer teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, I kind of mill that around. Like, you know, we beat those two clubs. Like, would you say that those two clubs are better than Phoenix Rising?
No.
Not those two?
No, I wouldn't... Colorado and no.
I don't know. Colorado's kind of peaking there.
Colorado has improved lately, but at the time.
At the time, no. Phoenix is way better.
I feel like Phoenix was a better club when we beat Colorado in the Open Cup. Yeah. You know, and then.
FC Dallas.
FC Dallas. You know, honestly, I'd say FC Dallas is better. So I think that. I think that shows that we have the talent, we have the ability. It's just, do we execute week in and week out? And the answer to that is no. We haven't.
Exactly.
You know.
We are inconsistent.
I think that, we talked about it last time. I think the last time we played or somewhere was maybe around the El Paso match, the first El Paso, which is a more of a rivalry. And I think you guys said, you may have said El Paso just because
I thought so, but it's Phoenix now.
No, it's Phoenix.
Phoenix is the rivalry.
Now it is.
Especially, I thought it was then.
Yeah, I didn't think it was then only because, you know, it's always one of those things to pick the nearest neighbor, and like, you know, they're like right below us, and it's like, okay, that's our rival, you know, because at least they talk the most trash online.
It's closer by what, 3 hours? Like, it doesn't matter how. Yeah. I mean, the Braves' rival is the Mets or the Phillies, you know, and they're nowhere close to each other.
Arizona and New Mexico will always be a rivalry. Yeah. It goes back to college football. It goes back to college basketball. Name one team the University of Arizona never wants to play in basketball. It's the University of New Mexico.
Yeah,
because. We always beat them. It's just something about New Mexico and Arizona games that Arizona hates us for some reason. And you go down, you can go down to Tucson, you can go down to Phoenix, you can go down any of those places, and they tell you what university do you hate the most, what team do you hate the most, and they always name an Albuquerque squad.
Yeah,
it's because they can't stand us.
Well, and so one of the Rising as one guy has had this to say. I mean, he said the same thing. Like the rivalry between the teams is something that's more like on the pitch. And that's a great rivalry to have versus the geographical rivalry that is typically El Paso and New Mexico with everything else. Just the two areas just don't like each other.
Yeah.
You know, the people and everything with it.
They're just bad because they don't have green chili like we do. So, but no, I mean,
you can
literally go to Phoenix and ask, who do you hate the most in sports? They're going to tell you it's not LA, it's not Vegas, it's not any Denver or anything like that. It's always Albuquerque squads. Because when I was in Tucson, it's all I heard. is you're from Albuquerque, I hate the Lobos. You're from Albuquerque, I hate the United. It's just, that's good because it just builds up. I'd rather have a rivalry with the best of the best than El Paso, whatever they're called, the Locos or whatever stupid name they came up with. But it's just, that's the way it is.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a rivalry with Phoenix than El Paso.
Chris, you mentioned the Rising as one guy's talked about it being a rivalry on the pitch. Now, we heard reports that there was a little bit of a scuffle going on over Section 205.
Yeah.
The way I understand it, the way it's been said, is that apparently the Bandidos came in and tried to put up a TIFO in 205.
Yeah, so
that some folks took exception to that.
Yeah, so the club told them they can hang up a banner. They were going to do the Bandido one, apparently, but then they were just settling for an Arizona State flag. A New Mexico fan, and I heard this from the Rising Against One guy, so he said a New Mexico fan walked up and basically just tried to instigate about that and get this other couple into like a fight. And it just became this thing where ultimately all of them got kicked out for the moment. They did let them back in. I think they kept the New Mexico fan out at some point, but it really was going to a point where the guy was really just trying to instigate like some physical contact.
Yeah, I've seen that said as well, you know, and it's all, unless we talk to the people actually involved, it's going to be a he said thing.
Yeah, another fan, actually one of our fans, and we know him, he's used to write, but he said that, like, because he got direct screenshots from his buddy, but some of their fans, like the Bandidos, like the women, will purposefully try to kind of instigate and kind of start the fights, and then the dudes just kind of are there to. It kind of works that sort of dynamic too. So, so nonetheless, like, who's worse in our stadium, Bandidos or the locomotive supporters? I mean, probably the Bandidos.
is it becoming an off the pitch rivalry?
Always.
Oh yeah. I mean, on Facebook, when the USL page announced this game earlier in the week, last week, this fan posted was from Phoenix, said, it will be 6-0 behind that trash defense of New Mexico United. Mm-hmm. And looking at the results, and I'm like, where's that 6-0? We were up on a 2-0 lead, so, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I called a 2-1 scoreline on the Rising as One pod. They were both talking about just, we have this trash D, and that that we just leak like a sieve, and that they just saw this 3-2. I mean, I felt good when it was 2-0, and then that first one came through, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah. Well, since we didn't do the show, I didn't get to give my prediction on it. I was talking up in the box prior to the match, and with friend of the show, Andrew Gunn, and I said, you know, it's going to be 2-2. Go ask Andrew, you know what? I called it right before the match. I said it's going to be 2-2, and sure enough, you know, we took a 2-goal lead, and I feel like.
Now, why'd you think it was going to be a 2-2? Like, what was your overall impression before the kickoff?
Before kickoff, like, looking at it, both clubs have offenses that can score. Both do. We've shown that we can put goals on Lubin. We've done it in the past, you know. And
yeah, because we had him in Open Cup.
Yeah, we had him Open Cup.
We had Waz the first time.
And then, you know, at that time, I didn't know that Cody was out. And so I know what my prediction was as far as what I felt like Justin and Rashid, or whoever was Justin and Sam, had to do to prevent, you know, Asante and John, but they're always a threat.
Well, and Fleming's too. I mean, those three.
Fleming's almost a non-factor in a match, though.
Yeah, but those three combined for like 51 of their goals. I mean, those three are the ones that, like, you know. So it's just it was marking those three guys. Did you think that? Because I mean, obviously that was a clear assignment. But did you think that it would be that we could clean sheet him at that point, or did you still think that someone else was going to get?
No, I didn't think we were going to clean sheet him. I still thought that a goal, at least one, would come from one of the two, either John or Asante. I thought that if I was watching the stats, I was watching the match, and even as we got that second goal, Phoenix was working their way back into it. They were playing into the match. They were gaining more possession. You could see them making their runs. You could see what they were trying to do, and I kind of felt like it was only a matter of time. Like, it's time to get winding out. Okay, we gave up the one. We're going to hold for, we held for a little while. So, all right, we're going to hold, maybe we can hold this out. You know, we got 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 minutes of stoppage. We, this was in the box length. And like the 88th, before that goal happened, that we were going to have 3 minutes of stoppage. So, all right, we just got to, you know, hang tough. And then they, Kalistri got that second goal. Like, I just.
Can we go back to the first one, though? Like, from your vantage point, like, how did that go in?
No idea. I have no. I heard some folks say that they felt like it took a deflection. I didn't see it. I didn't see a deflection anywhere in there. I honestly think he was trying to shoot. I think he was trying to cross it, mm-hmm. but it just curled in. Like, it, the angle that he took it from, like, right there, the corner of the 18-yard box, he was probably a yard or two in play. I mean, that's a less than 1% shot. The odds of that going in are so small. And, you know, Ben was right there on the post. He had near-perfect positioning on it.
Because was that the one where Ben was outside the goal when it was all said and done? Or was that the second?
That was the second one. Yeah.
How did that, I mean, I've seen the angles, but it's just like, good Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pandemonium for 3 minutes. And that was the 3 minutes where I was like, okay, they got to come up big. I mean, and they did. But I feel like we, to properly address that second goal, we got to go back and talk about, like, coach's subs. Because,
you know, honestly, this discussion kind of pisses me off.
Let's have it, because it's...
So, there's discussion on the Mexico United subreddit as well about this, saying it's Troy's fault. These are poor subs. This, that. I completely disagree. Now, the one sub that I have an issue with is bringing off Bees for Tommy.
Me too.
That's the one that I have a problem with. Right. I agree with bringing on Austin for Kevon. Uh-huh. He had picked up the yellow. He's now back in danger of being suspended for two more matches. Mm-hmm. You know, the argument, people have the argument that we're in the playoff hunt. We need to have, we're gonna need him for these four matches.
Right.
Like, I don't want him out there. Phoenix is obviously gunning for him. I don't want him picking up a second yellow. Mm-mm. You know, if he picks up a second yellow, he's automatically gone for one match. But, you know, he'd be gone for two because of the accumulation. You know, that was a tactical sub to save Kevon.
Right. So I definitely do agree with that. My thing is, when you looked at, like, Phoenix's subs, like, they didn't, I mean, they, I think he played his subs against our moves, obviously, right? Because, mm-hmm. I mean, his subs were a defensive and a midfielder. Kalistri was the midfielder, so that was his attack move. And then he brought on Spencer and, what was it? Someone else, but he essentially brought on two other defenders. But I think, like, the thing that's interesting, and we've seen it before, is that we did have a 2-0 lead, and then the subs started happening, and they really didn't happen until after the first goal. So, I mean, and we know what Troy said as far as his take about shoring up things. I get that. But when you got, like, the best team in your house, do you, and like, everyone's watching the match, you know, and you got, this is like your opportunity, do you go for trying to put up goals, or do you kind of go defense, like what we've heard, what we've seen, obviously?
You've got a 2-0 lead. You've got to give yourself the best shot that you have at winning.
Do you think we made a statement on this team, because we could have?
I don't think we're going to go and clean sheet them. I don't think we're going to put up.
No, I wasn't expecting a clean sheet, but... Chris, you know hockey. I know hockey. What's the worst lead you can ever have?
2-0. Yeah.
Right? We needed at least one more goal. One more goal, would have, even a 3-1 lead, would have been okay, because they would have got that second goal. They would have been panicking with 5-6 minutes to go. We would have finished it. But the strategy that was made, you're playing a bad chess game. You took out one of the weaker pawns, and you... I don't know. Like, it was just a bad move on Troy's part. I don't know. I like Matt. Don't get me wrong. He's a good kid. He's smart. He knows what he's doing out there. But you needed the leadership and the experience that we had out there. Even though he didn't have a great game, he wasn't having the experience or the game of his life. But he's just a presence on the pitch, and that's what you need. You need somebody out there that's just ready to go and knows what he's doing. And just Phoenix was watching him the whole time. And then when they took him out, when they took Meehan out, they were just like, okay, let's attack the young kid now.
Well, and Seth, you know it. Phoenix, when does Phoenix typically win some of their matches?
Oh, they win late.
Way late, right? Yeah. Like in the last 20.
Yeah.
So I felt like they, Rick Shantz saw the subs, and he's like, all right, they just took out two of their attackers, put in some defensive players. We're going hard. And they got guys that are match fit, and it was just, I mean, the guys that we marked were in the match the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, again, I think it was the right calls. I really think it was. Justin Arashita played so well. Josh Suggs, we've seen him in the past get caught out of position. Justin gets caught out from time to time. That didn't happen Saturday night. They were tracking back. They were playing defensive. Bees missed some shots that he probably should have made, or they were blocked, I should say. But his defensive effort was unbelievable. Watch him tracking back. You know, we played such good defense for the first 60 minutes of the match. Like, I feel like having a 2-0 lead, and I think the sub for Freighter was already planned prior to the first Kalistri goal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just to, you know, after the yellow card, get him out and, you know, protect him a little bit. I feel like that was planned. And then, so Troy just kind of went through with it anyway. But bringing in Austin as an extra defensive midfielder was the right call to try to shore up the midfield there.
Well, we needed that. Was, I mean, yeah. After throwing in Samson, yeah, too.
And Sam talked about it in the post-match, saying that, you know, the way that they game planned it was they intended to have, for Phoenix to have to go through two lines. And they had to do that all night long. And for a long time, they could not get in on goal.
What did you think about, so getting closer to the second goal, right? So what did you think about the fact that they gave so much of the pitch to Phoenix? I mean, they brought the whole damn team into the box.
Well, that's like I was saying earlier, you know, throughout the match, Phoenix had been building up. They've been working that possession, working movement, trying to find it. And I think we did give up a lot, and we gave up a lot of possession in the second half. But when you're trying to be defensive and trying to protect a lead, that's what's going to happen. You're not going to have, you're not going to be pushing down the field a lot. You're not going to be spreading the ball as much. Your goal at that point, especially when it got as late as it was before the second goal, is if you get that ball, if you get possession, either maintain possession in your half, making short, safe passes, or just kick the thing as far as you can down
and the
field.
And they should have, but they had so much of that. It was still, they were just trying to clear it out, and there were so many times where it was like, just kick it. Just kick it somewhere. Like, you know, it was getting way too close. I still just think that, like, along with what Josh is saying, that you had the best team down, right? Like, we should have made a statement on the team. And then instead, we kind of just came up with, like,
Troy played scared, in my opinion. Yeah. It looks like he saw they had a 2-0 lead. They scored a goal, and he got nervous. You put that pedal down, man. You just keep going. You keep attacking. How did the United get their first two goals? What were they doing?
They were attacking, obviously.
We didn't see what their usual game plan was to kick the ball backwards and hold on to it for 5 minutes. It was, let's just strike and strike fast.
It was high. They were high-pressuring a lot.
Yes, exactly. But in the second half, what happened? We went away from that. We were playing defense the whole time. Yeah. You can't do that.
Well, we couldn't move the ball around. Well, we couldn't move the ball around a lot in the first half because we knew that their fresh legs, the speed transition, that would have killed us. Like, doing that left to right thing, like, ultimately would have left. I mean, we saw it. Like, Asante almost got a goal in 27.
Yeah.
Just.
Yeah, it was just a poor decision there, but that, and one of the few on the night, you know, by our defense, but
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's hard to really look at it and say, you know, that it's Troy's fault.
No, and I don't think it's his fault. I think, in fact, that he tries to burden a lot of these matches as I didn't prepare them or this or that. Yeah. But I'm like, I think that's coach talk sometimes because he does prepare them.
Yeah.
It's going to be whether they put in effort and they, you know, use everything they got. And we did see that. Like, you there are parts of the match where you saw them go that extra leg, run that extra spot, where they did everything they could. Because, you know, typically where the scores come in against us is when someone just gives up, like, for one moment around the box. Like, they just don't press that guy. And then he has space. So it's like they obviously weren't trying to give up any easy goals like last week.
No, absolutely. I honestly feel like if not for the lucky bounces that they got, for the luck that Phoenix had, we would have had 3 points.
I mean, did you see Spider-Man Ben? I think that's his new TIFO probably coming out.
Yeah.
Guy's like hanging off the top bar. He has two shots on the crossbars.
Saw that.
Right? Yeah. And then.
It's like, who's that monkey swinging on the swing, man? Get down. You're going to get a technical.
I mean.
And I mean, really, even that last set piece, that last corner that ultimately led to the goal, I mean, Asante and John both went off the crossbar. Rashid had a great header to clear it. It just happened to fall to the feet of Kalistri, and then he got a great shot in.
I mean, you felt like you were playing FIFA when you saw those
off the
bars.
It really made me feel like it.
Even the announcers were like, you know, the color analyst was like, I'm playing a game of FIFA right now. Every single bar, but the right one.
And we said last week on the show, like me, you, and Adrian, we said that if we marked the top three, that we knew that there was going to be another guy that could step up because just based on the fact that, like, Asante was, like, leading the team in chance creations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And assists. So there's obviously another guy. But so then with it all, I mean, obviously they were playing for that point. A lot of people were like, well, why are they celebrating a draw? And it's like, well, because they had just won the supporter show. And they really had already won it before the match even ended. I mean, they won it because Pittsburgh had clean-sheeted Indy, and so there was no way Indy could get max points.
Yeah.
And so there they are celebrating, you know. And it wasn't just on the field. I'm sure you saw Twitter. It was in the locker room.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, I think there are positives to take away from this match from United's perspective. We held the two of the top five scorers in the league off the sheet. I mean, they barely even sniffed the goal. We honestly, I think that was one of the best defensive performances that we've had. Yes, we conceded two goals, but that's not for the lack of effort on the defensive end. That's not for guys getting caught out or out of position. It just was lucky breaks for Phoenix.
What did you think about Troy's explanation about needing like how the 1 point was going to be valuable? Because I do get, and I know we'll talk about this here in a little bit, about max points and how this point could help. Mm-hmm. But if we drop anything else, that point's like for naught.
No, I agree with that. But no, Troy's absolutely right. This is a point that nobody expects us to get. We still have matches in hand, a match in hand on a couple of the clubs that are still above us, you know, Austin, San Antonio. So that extra point that we picked up against Phoenix could be big, especially with the back end of our schedule the way it is. 13 points instead of 12 with how tight the table is right now. I mean, there's still 8 points between fourth place and 14th in the table.
Yeah, I would have loved that point against Reno. I mean, you know.
Yeah, that was a terrible match. We conceded at the end of the half and then two more there in the second half. It's just, unfortunately, I wasn't around to watch that, you know, out of town. But, yeah.
I think what I hope is that, well, and here it is. I mean, like, we're in a position where we have to win them all. Mm-hmm. And that's an unfortunate position because you know that I'm sure, like, as a first-year head coach, his ambitions, obviously we know the Open Cup was one of them, right, to get as far as they did. And I'm sure it's to probably break the first round. But now he's got almost so much pressure on him for this, you know.
Yeah.
And it's would you have wanted to break the 20-match streak? Or 20, I guess it would have been 21 if they would have won. Would you have wanted that as much as what we got?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think anyone would have wanted to break that, to break that streak. I mean, no matter where it ended, Phoenix had already made history. I think it would have been great to get a win against the rival club. I don't know, in the grand scheme of things, breaking that streak wouldn't have mattered a whole lot.
Yeah, not for us.
But as far as momentum-wise, as far as confidence goes, I think it would have been huge.
Yeah, exactly, so. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that one. I hope that a New Mexico team can put up some points against that. I hope that he's not, you know, cursing us.
Now, who knows? Yeah. All right, that's going to do it for our Doral Motors revved up recap. You know, we've got four matches left. We've got RGV, we've got Las Vegas, we've got Tulsa and Tacoma. four of the bottom teams in the league. I'm sorry. Yeah, we got those four. This weekend, again on Saturday night, we've got RGV. RGV is sitting currently 15th on the table on 34 points. They are not quite eliminated yet. Technically, I think if they lose to us, they will be eliminated. So, yeah, I mean, they won their last two in a row. They just came off a 2-0 win against Orange County and a 3-1 win over Real Monarchs.
Oh, my gosh.
Two huge wins for Rio.
Two teams we lost.
Yeah. So, I mean...
What does that say?
Yeah, who knows? Anybody can beat anybody on any given day. That's what that is.
Well, and our record kind of tells us that you got a 33% chance of a result.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, it's. I think it's going to be a lot harder than people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
RGV's played well the last two matches against two very good clubs. Two clubs that are most likely, I mean, that are more than likely going to be in the playoffs. I mean, what do we think happens? I mean, do we see a letdown coming off of this energy from the Phoenix match? Do we see the guys, you know, get up and just go out and dominate? I mean, of the four matches, we got three at home. This is one of them.
Right. Well, I guess let's ask the overhead question, right? And this will obviously have to go back to each week, but do you think we will win all four? Just outright, based on the way we're playing.
I think we're certainly capable of it.
Right. Get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're results capable, but based on just facts alone, do you think
we're going to get all four? I think we get three of them.
Yeah, three.
I think we... obviously, I'd love for us to get all four, but I think it's going to be three. I mean, at least, who do you think we would not get the win against?
I think Tulsa is going to be... It's going to be a draw.
Tulsa?
Yeah.
Okay. Chris, I mean, what do you think about these four?
Vegas, man.
Vegas?
We remember what we said before, and yes, they were in the Open Cup, but we said, oh, it's Vegas. They're at the bottom of the table. And then, bam, we got smacked with a 5-1 loss, and they didn't even have Parra, their main scorer. They had some other dudes that came up. So I'm like, I don't think that we can take anyone lightly right now. And especially look at what Tulsa just did against San Antonio, too. So, I mean, there's that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we ever take anyone lightly, you know. I mean, the last match against Las Vegas certainly was an abomination, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we definitely didn't have our A squad out there. But, yeah.
I am with you. I do think that we take three. I think that... I don't know if we get a point on that fourth one because it's been shown now that, I mean, win, lose, or draw is a pretty proponent thing. So I honestly think that we're gonna need help from other teams, and I don't think Portland and San Antonio are the teams that are gonna need as much help.
I think three wins gets us in the play-ins. I think if we get 12, we may sneak into sixth.
The three wins is only going to help as long as Portland and San Antonio don't get four wins. Because if they get 14 wins, then that we're going to all be even with that 50 points. Is that what you're looking at? Because max points, we're all going to have 50 if they win out. So that's going to put them at 14 wins and us at 13 wins for league.
If we get max points, we're going to be at 52.
But if we win the next, if we win three,
if we win three, they'll
and lose one.
Yeah, that puts us at 50.
Right, with those two.
Portland's 3 points behind us.
Right, but their max points is 50 at this point because they lost.
Right. But their schedule is not favorable for them. I was looking.
Right.
And then you said San Antonio as well?
Yeah, so if they win, I mean, all the way out, they'll have one more league win than us, and that will matter.
Yeah. Let me pull up their schedules real quick.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, while we're looking at this, let's talk about RGV, though. That's what we're worried about. RGV is next, you know. They've got Saladar, who's their leading scorer. You know, Wilmer Cabrera is obviously a talent. Again, two wins in a row against two very good clubs. What do we think is going to happen in that?
I think they come into the match with a situation that, hey, the first time we played them, 0-0, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously, just as we have that sort of edge on a team like Phoenix, they got that sort of edge for us, too. I think... Like, what is our current home record right now?
Let me get that real quick.
Because, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I honestly think that RGB comes in. I don't think we lose this match. But I do think that it's not, like, an easy win for us. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's probably just going to be a less productive 1-0 or 2-1 type of match for us.
A win's a win.
It is. It is.
RGB is 1-10-4 on the road.
Yeah.
They have one win on it. They have 7 points all season on the road.
Man, so if they get one, then that's going to really suck. But, I mean, a win is a win. What the club has done is they've created such an inconsistency that, you know, if they win this one, they could lose the next one. The next team could be even worse than them. And it's, you know, so it's we really don't even know. I mean, it's, as you put it, Jekyll and hiding is what's happening right now.
So arguably San Antonio has an easier or a similar back end of the schedule. Thus, they have Las Vegas, they have T2, and Switchbacks. That's their last three matches. They did just beat Fresno 2-1.
Right.
So, I mean, that was an interesting result. I think I could see San Diego dropping points to Vegas. I see them getting two more wins out of three. So that's what I think is going to happen there. And then
we could possibly not make the playoffs.
You lose, you're dead. It's simple.
It very,
you need to...
Very well could be, yeah.
But I mean, with Sacramento losing to El Paso off of, did you see that match? The highlight from that?
Yeah.
I mean,
and then you said T2
is right now we're what, yeah, sitting on that 10th spot?
No, we're like 11. We're sitting 11.
We're in 11th currently on goal differential.
But we know what it will really look
you
like.
You need all four wins to be safe. Three is going to get you on that 10-9 spot, but you need all four.
Well, all four is definitely control your own destiny. Like, we know that. Like, with the max points, like, we'll...
When you're in.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
So T2 is the remaining schedule. Phoenix, San Antonio, El Paso, and RGB. Three clubs that are already in the playoff picture, or that are in the playoff picture currently, and one that's not.
So it's going to change the way it looks all through the weeks.
Yeah. I don't see T2 making it just looking at their schedule.
Yeah.
You know, I put out a prediction the other day of who's going to end up in the 10 spots. I had Sacramento, Orange County, us, Real, Bold, LA, the Galaxy 2, and El Paso. Who I think is going to make it.
Yeah. Well, and El Paso has a good amount of matches within this week, right?
They've got six matches.
And they got one...
Five now.
They got one on Wednesday, I believe, and then one maybe Friday or Saturday. So I'm just saying that, like, we're going to see some results really quick.
Yeah.
In the table.
Yeah, El Paso, I'll pull up their schedule real quick. Let's go around here. Let's get our predictions for Saturday night against RGV.
Josh.
Well, I will not be there this Saturday, unfortunately. Got to broadcast a little hockey team. But I will be there in spirit, and I'm going to go 2-1 us.
2-1, all right. Alicia, what do you think?
I hope they have the same mentality and think of it as if they're playing Phoenix and not playing down, and I'm hoping for a 2-0 lead, or 2-0 win. All right.
Yeah, please don't play down. I understand they're in the bottom of the table, but we still need to treat them like they're in the top. So if they're playing up, then it's 2-1 us.
3-1. All right. Yeah, I think Ben's gonna start again.
Well, yeah, you're probably right on that one.
I think Ben's gonna start. You know, I don't think we'll see Graysick at all.
It's gonna be boy from Nashville. Watch.
It'd be interesting if we saw him, but I think Ben's gonna get the start. I think Ben has another great match. I think 2-0 to us this weekend against RGV. You mentioned El Paso. Their schedule. They've got Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, Tuesday, Saturday. Yeah, they got a whole bunch of matches coming up. But their back end of their schedule is absolutely brutal. They have Fresno, they have Reno, they have Bold, they have T2, and Los Dos.
So the odds are ever in our favor.
I think El Paso squeaks in, but I don't think that...
Coach Troy's got to give them the old Coach Bombay.
Yeah.
We are one loss away from elimination. You guys might want to go home early, but yeah. I sure as hell don't.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the speech.
That's what you want, but you know the speech it is. It's
you can't be like, All right, guys, win-win for the Gipper now, because we're hanging on to hopes and dreams. Like, it's not going to work if he's giving that. You got to literally put your foot down if you're Troy and be like, hey, one loss and could be, we're done.
Hey, but and fly on that, right? Like, did it look like he delivered a hard conversation when you saw him at that press conference? It looked like he had already said some stuff prior to seeing us.
Yeah.
And his whole demeanor was like,
buy one of those little microphones and just tack it on him, like, well, hey, what's up, coach? And then we can hear what he really says in the locker.
Or do one of the pens be like, oh, here's a gift for you.
Because I really want to know how bad he gets in these guys. Like how bad he gets in their heads. Because as a coach for myself, you know who I am.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be, you can't be their friend. You have to be their coach. And that's what we see a lot of problems with. You got to be down on them and be like, hey, like I said, one loss, and you guys can go see your home, your family a little early. But I'm sure your family would want to see you in that playoffs, lifting that trophy at the end of the year. It's up to you. It's not up to me. I can call the decisions. It's up to you how you guys want to play. If you guys want to go home, there's the door. Good luck. We'll see you next year.
Because it's going to be interesting to have an episode about who we think is staying and who's leaving.
Yeah.
Well, we already
that'll be interesting.
Yes.
We still got a ways to go on that, so we're not going to get into any of that just yet.
Postseason.
That's all for later. So real quick, we're running a little long on this first segment here. Let's check on our EPL clubs. This past week was an interesting week, to say the least, across the EPL. Liverpool beat Sheffield United 1-0. Aston Villa and Burnley drew 2-2. Sorry. Bournemouth and West Ham drew 2-2 as
What's
well.
What's up with West Ham?
I don't know.
They got us.
Can't say it.
You know who I've been impressed with so far is Villa. Villa has looked good. They've not had the results, but they have looked good. So, yeah, I know. It's hard to say. Chelsea beat Brighton 2-0. Crystal Palace beat Norwich 2-0. Tottenham went 2-1 over Southampton. Wolves beat Watford 2-0. Everton lost 3-1 to Manchester City. Leicester beat Newcastle 5-0. And United and Arsenal drew 1-1 earlier today. So,
how do you like the Norwich situation with Man City?
Norwich with Man City?
Oh wait, is that the one? Where was the upset?
It was Man City and Norwich.
Yeah,
that was last week, right?
Yes.
We haven't talked EPL. We were waiting for you. So
yeah, so that was really interesting. Norwich is a they're talented. Like, they really are. They're currently sitting. Where are they sitting at in the table? They're sitting 17th. They're only on 6 points. But yeah, that one of their two wins was over
one
City.
One point behind Manchester United?
They're 3-2 over City, which that was just an incredible match. I got to see the highlights of that. They've got Pookie. I think that's his name. I think
that's something you name your dog. Hey, Pookie.
Norwich has been interesting. I think they've been competitive in most of their matches. They lost to Chelsea 3-2 a few weeks ago. I think Norwich is going to, if they keep playing the way they are, I think they'll gel a little bit. I think they'll stay up this season. It's just interesting to see.
Can I get your quick comments on something?
Yeah.
All right. So I was listening to this show just because nothing else was on at the time, but they were talking about how soccer is in trouble when it comes to superstars, because we haven't seen Ronaldo very much. We haven't seen Messi very much. It's becoming kind of like golf. Who's the stars that we're going to see out there that can carry these clubs? Because, someone brought up a good point. Like, with these guys hurt, ratings are down tremendously in all leagues.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, no matter what league it is, I think not having your superstars out there does have a negative impact on it. I mean, not seeing
it'd be like the NFL without Mahomes and Brady, and
yeah,
it's like preseason football, pretty much.
Kind of. There's still football going on, you know, and there's other stuff to watch.
What are the names that are going to? Who are the next names? Because everybody's getting up in age that we all grew up on. Neymar, you know, Messi, Ronaldo. They're all coming up on age, but who do we see that's going to be the next Messi, the next Ronaldo?
I mean,
that's what they were talking about. There's just no name out there right now that kids are going, I need that guy's jersey right now.
I mean, they're a name. I'm sure their names floating around, you know, some of the bigger leagues over here, like Serie A or the Bundesliga, you know, stuff like that, where there are guys that are getting attention, but they're just not getting attention here.
Yeah.
So, you know, unless you're... Speaking of the Bundesliga, ESPN Plus just signed a deal to start broadcasting Bundesliga in 2020.
Yep.
So, away from Fox. So, and that's a big deal there, because I think it's like so many... If I read it correctly, it's like four matches per season are going to be on like mainstream ESPN, and the rest are all going to be on ESPN Plus. So if you're paying your $5 a month right now, I mean, that's an incredible
deal. He's paying $12.
Yeah. I'm going to get on that Disney stuff here in a little while.
I already pre-ordered, so yeah. I'm not sure.
But, you know, as far as like a U.S. soccer stars, there really isn't anybody. I mean, Pulisic is not doing well right now. Yeah. We really don't have... Weah's doing fairly well over in Liga. But, you know, it's... Yeah, I mean, unless you're really in the other leagues, like I said, like Serie A, Bundesliga, or, you know... La Liga, you know, you're really not hearing any names. And while it is, on a global scale, not hearing those names is detrimental to soccer, you know, I think it's going to be okay.
I think we need a good
flood. It's going to take the talent coming up.
I think we need, like, a good amount of those EPL and La Liga players to kind of come over to some of the American teams.
There are some guys that have mentioned they're going to come. They're looking at MLS. So.
I mean, I just think about Tim Howard, Man U, and then bam, he's like Rapids, you know.
His final matches this weekend.
I know.
Tim Howard.
The documentaries were pretty sick that they released lately.
So it's just going to take, you know, something like Moise Keane from Everton is a bigger name that's being talked about as potentially being. A future star. You know, it's just going to take someone to make a breakthrough. I mean, there are lots of, you know, Rashford, you know, there's guys out there that have the ability. It's just a matter of whether or not.
You know who's going to pull him across?
Who's that?
You know who's going to pull him across? Beckham.
Beckham?
Enter Miami?
No.
Good boy. He's already trying to get Silva.
Yeah, I could see Silva coming over, but, you know, anyway. So, Liverpool currently sitting top of the table, 21 points from 7 matches. They have who do they have next? They have Brighton and they have Leicester next. So a 1-3 matchup. Anybody, any predictions on that one? What do you think?
Liverpool 4-1.
3-0 Liverpool.
3-0. All right. Let's see. Chelsea is sitting 7th on the table, 11 points. 3-2-2. Coming off a win over Brighton, they've got Southampton next. Josh, what do you think?
2-0.
All right. Going on down the table, Manchester United currently sitting 10th, 9 points, 2-3-2. Drew with Arsenal today. They've got Newcastle United next.
Hey, we're winning that one, man.
They lose.
We're winning
they
that
lose.
One.
They lose 1-0.
No. I saw a stat that this is one of the worst starts for Manchester United through the first 7 games.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
In history.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if Manchester lost this match.
No, fire that coach.
We're going to win, man. Coach. I just grabbed a bottle of Chivas 13. It's the Manchester United edition. And
sorry. Were you gassy?
No, I haven't got it yet.
Does that explain the smell?
No, I haven't got it yet, but it will be my victory bottle.
Sorry, man.
It will be.
And my team currently, Everton, is sitting in 15th, 7 points, 2-1-4. They've not been playing well the past few weeks. Just lost to City 3-1. I certainly didn't expect us to win that one. City's been playing extremely well so far this season. We've got Burnley up next. It is, Burnley, that's at Burnley. So, I don't know. Burnley's sitting 2 points up on us, 9 points in 7 matches. And they just drew with Villa. So, I don't know. I think Everton starts to turn it around. We've got some positive things coming up. I'm going to say 2-0 Everton. So, all right. That's going to do it for the first segment of our show. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after these words from Roadrunner Law Firm.
Thank you.
Durrell Motors is dedicated to providing the ultimate automobile buying experience. Durrell Motors is your number one source for buying quality pre-owned vehicles. In addition, we offer a full array of financing options to meet your needs. Visit Durrell Motors today at 6701 Lomas Boulevard, Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Or make the phone call to 505-907-9549. Or visit Durrell Motors online at DurrellMotorsNM.com. Welcome back to the We Are Sink and Strike podcast. Here are your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Thank you, Josh. I apologize. That the first ad break there was, of course, Durrell Motors. So apologies.
Hey,
there.
It wasn't me this time.
Dang.
My notes here had scrolled down somehow without me even being on the page. I don't know how that happened. But yeah, so let's jump right into our full-time fan Q&A brought to you, of course, by Roadrunner Law Firm. Josh, what do you got queued up for us?
All right, so the first one comes from Anonymous. They are texting in from Truth or Consequences, making my way up to my first United game. So excited. Can't wait to see the game this weekend. Where are the best tailgate spots and why?
Best tailgate spots? I mean, check out the south lot and the, what's it, the east lot? I think it's the east lot. Yeah.
Anything by the UNF soccer field is pretty bumping.
Yeah, each of the ones around the football stadium, Dreamstyle Stadium, you know, they've got tailgates going all over. I don't know where the curse does there. I think it's over right there at the east lot.
East lot.
I'm not sure. So.
It's the east lot.
The best thing is to go yourself, bring your own table, bring your own grill, bring some games and some family. That's the best tailgate right there. Fun to invade other people's tailgates, but the experience is just going yourself with a bunch of friends and just being you guys. Some cornhole, flipping.
But they do got free beer and lots of tacos usually. So,
all right, Anonymous, thank you for that question.
All right. Egan has finally returned.
Egan.
He says, ladies and wimpy men, how about my Liverpool? We are kicking totally butt right now. I told you guys what was going to happen. Chris, what's up with Manchester United? Come on, give me a break. They look like poo out there. I took a dump that looks better than them this morning. Josh, Chelsea, come on. If your team is named after a girl, you stand no chance in this league. Everton, can you even spell that? Because I can't. Because all the only thing I see is L-L-L-L-L-L. Lost. No, I'm here to tell you guys that I won't, unfortunately, be able to watch any more United games. My work schedule has changed, so I tune into you guys to find out what's going on. Does anybody know what happened to Cody Mizell? Was he injured? Was he just sick? Did he need some rest? What's going on? I needed my boy out there this weekend, and I didn't see him. Go United. Good talking to you, lads. Have a good night.
Egan definitely can. You know, Liverpool season has taken off. They're doing really well right now. Some other clubs got some catch up to do. But as far as Cody, and I'm sorry to hear that your schedule's changing, you won't really catch the matches. If you have ESPN Plus or YouTube, you can, of course, go back and check them out later. But we appreciate you joining us each and every week as you do.
We need to give him a watch-along episode.
We should. So, Egan, from what we've been told about Cody, he's been dealing with a foot injury for some time, and it finally just got to the point where he couldn't go this week.
Happy birthday, Cody, by the way.
Yes, happy birthday.
Shout out to Cody Mizell.
In the post match press conference, Troy said that Cody was going to be a week to week decision, and Ben only just found out, I think it was on Thursday, mm-hmm. that he was going to be getting the nod this week. Some sort of a foot issue. I've tried to go back and look a little bit to see if something had happened in the match, maybe someone stepped on his foot or something.
That damn switchblade.
Could be, and maybe it's a switchblade. Yeah, who knows? But that's all that Troy would say. He didn't really elaborate as he typically does as far as the injuries go. But we're hoping that Cody is resting and we'll be back within the next couple weeks.
This one is for Alicia. You have a fan, ma'am. From Anonymous, I don't know who it is. They just said, saw you play in high school. You go, girl. You rocked it. They want to know what you've been up to and where can they can you they can see your journalism skills into action.
Oh, I don't know who you are.
Say hi, Mom.
No, my mom can barely text in Spanish, so let alone English. No, I don't know who you are, so if you could just reach out next time with your name so I could thank you. And I really haven't been up to anything lately, but just school, taking care of some of my twin niece and nephew. They're a hassle, man. They're only 9 months old. And that's pretty much it. Journalism skills? Well, haven't been... had a chance to write an article yet, but maybe soon.
Write one.
Alrighty. So, another anonymous. We've just been getting these all night long. It's good to see all you guys. At every single game, you guys put in a lot of effort, a lot of work. Sad to hear that Josh won't be at this match. I always look forward to talking to him when he's there. Chris, you as well, buddy.
Did you send that to yourself?
No. Okay. No, I think I know who this is. No. What's his face?
Jacob.
I didn't say Jacob. Seth, always good to talk to you, man. So, with just the remaining matches, I know you guys touched base on it earlier. Who is the biggest threat? I know Chris said Vegas, but I didn't get to hear anybody else's biggest threat left on our schedule.
Biggest threat left on the schedule... honestly, I think it's Tulsa.
Mm-hmm.
The road game?
Yeah, our one remaining road match. I think Tulsa is going to be...
Oh, they got Resend out there, don't they?
Yeah. Tulsa is going to be tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to say home game is going to be a tough one for us.
Yeah.
I can see RGV, like we've been discussing, we can't play to anybody's level, and United tend to do that when bad teams come over here as we... tend to play their ball, and we can't afford to do that.
Yeah.
I think Vegas, I'm going to go with you, Chris, say that Vegas is our biggest threat right now, just because they know they can beat us, and they've done it before.
Yeah.
Just if that guy scores again, no taking off the shirt. Cause,
oh, I know.
Yeah. Well, that point man is getting paid now, right? So.
Alrighty, guys. This one is from Sarah. She is from Santa Fe. She says, best tailgate games go.
Best games to tailgate or best tailgate games?
Yeah,
cornhole. I mean,
beer pong.
You know, yeah, you could do that.
Something sweeping the nation with flipping cups, apparently.
Bottle game too, right?
I don't know that one, but
yeah. You like trying to make it land.
Yeah, you have to flip. Yeah.
What are you doing?
Or just grab a football. Kick it around, you know.
A soccer ball, right?
Yeah, soccer.
Okay.
Yeah. After the match.
You guys will be mad at me. I threw a football, American football, around at
a I saw a couple guys after the match that night throwing an actual football in the stands. I was like, okay.
I know, it didn't make sense.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of throwing like soccer or kicking soccer balls around, like the store has got soccer balls now. I saw that
yellow soccer balls.
Yeah.
Nice.
This one is from Lisa. She said, guys, it was unfortunately a little hard to watch the game in the stands. We were unfortunately sitting next to some very rude Phoenix fans, cussing and swearing all game long. That's not what I took my kids there to go see. I know that this has now become a rivalry, but what do you guys think? We even had some United fans swearing at them in Spanish. Is this something that we see a lot with United fans?
For me, I typically spend it up in the box, just so that I can, get my notes and my articles ready and be able to watch replays and things like that. I think it's a soccer thing. Unfortunately, I think it is, and now that doesn't excuse it. I heard I was driving my son to school this morning, and I was listening to KKOB, and they were talking about the state superintendent of schools sending out a letter to. Basically, the coaches and the ADs of the high schools across the state saying that parent behavior has gotten out of hand, and that they're having to cancel and reschedule games because referees don't want to take part.
Guess I've never been to a AFL game either.
Yeah, I think it's just I think it's youth sports just in general, but unfortunately, I think it's just part of the soccer culture. I don't agree with it. I don't think it's necessary.
Well, because last week, Seth, we discussed the bad word that was being chanted every time. The goal kick.
Yeah.
I think we remember we touched base on that last week. So I'm glad it was. I didn't hear it from the TV standpoint.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys heard it, but
I was in the supporters, and they like still try to say it, but it's not as bad anymore.
Okay, that's good. At least we don't.
I mean, there's some kids in the stands that are like rowdy by themselves. Like, I'm like, where's your mom at? And mom's right next to him going.
She's saying the same thing.
Yeah. You know? Like, they're screaming. Those kids are screaming loud, and they're just, it's crazy.
But yeah, at least I hear where you're coming from. You know, I have young kids myself. I hate for my kids to be exposed to stuff like that. I think it's, especially, you know, I know that section, like 205, is very family friendly. You know, there's a lot of families that sit up there.
TIFOs.
The TIFOs that get hung by front row 205. I think it's great. You know, I mean, unfortunately, being that close to the OA supporters, and the Phoenix fans traveled tremendously well.
Oof, yeah, 100,
150. 100, yeah. It was good to see. And you know, I think we've had another club travel that well so far this season. But, I mean, you put alcohol, you put people in a rivalry situation. Unfortunately, I think it's...
It's going to be like when Nevada comes over here to play New Mexico for basketball.
Yeah.
It's going
to happen. I mean, the only thing that we can do is just continue to try to create a positive atmosphere and not take part in that. And you know, hopefully it goes away.
And you know, like now a statement was put out by Liga MX that if there is slurs like that yelled out, that they will. At first, they'll try and see who's saying it to try to kick them out of the stadium. And then if it keeps going on, they're going to delay the game for 10 minutes. And if it still keeps going on, the next game, they'll just play, but with no fans.
Yeah.
And then after that, I think they just cancel the game. So.
What do you guys think about the volleyball or the beach ball being tossed around during the game? I've been seeing that. I'm just seeing this because I've seen it on two groups already. And I've also seen the wave being an issue now.
I hate the wave at like 20 minutes into a match when we're up 1-0.
People that bored, they got to do the wave.
Save it for the second half, man.
The wave is a baseball thing. It's a very American thing. Like, save it for the isotopes. I'm sorry. Keep it out of soccer. That's just my opinion. The beach ball, whatever, you know, as long as security doesn't care. Like,
we had a guy in our section, and he's like standing on the wall right there in my section. He's standing on the wall, and he's like, let's do the wave. And we're like, let's not do the wave.
I know.
We're like trying to crowd kill hard. And he's just like, come on. He's like, one more time. And he's like jumping over the wall and running back to his spot and then running back. And I'm like, dude, nah, dude.
The best, I mean, like, I know we were talking about listening to the fans and stuff, but me and Adam are behind the net. You guys should hear what some of those guys say. It's like a little hockey, man, because we broadcast right between the penalty boxes. Man, I just want to go up to some of them and go, would you kiss your mother with that mouth? Like, especially Frater. Frater's got a potty mouth. And he's got that thick Jamaican accent. So when he swears, you kind of go, like, because you want to laugh because it's like just so thick. But gosh, thank God that doesn't get out to the crowd. Like, some of these guys call each other sexual names. And it's just like,
oh, dang.
Cool, man. I want to see what happens between the two benches. Like, I wonder what they're calling each other. No. I know there's a referee right there listening.
Probably not a whole lot going on that way.
I know Troy was getting pretty upset with the other coach for the little flop to the face, the little LeBron James.
Yeah, that's the Brady rule.
Man.
Alrighty. This one is from Anonymous as well. They're saying, guys, hearing a rumor that ticket prices are going to go up for season tickets next year. What do you guys think about this? I know my section, they're talking an increase of at least $300 to $500.
Ooh, you're sitting in a really good section now then. I sit in 121, and the seats there are going up $80 if you're buying this year. And the first three rows are going to be on the higher end of the price. Like, I sit in row C, so like obviously like anyone who buys into that is going to be paying like on the high end of that. Yeah, they're raising prices. They're raising the parking premium too. This year we got lucky because they were originally $5 a spot, or $5 for parking, and then UNM raised their price to $10. So we made a steal on paying $69 for it, but next year it's going to be a $150 pass. So I don't know.
Might be, when your teams win.
Might be parking at CNN.
When you've got the hottest attraction in town, I mean,
you
honestly,
can charge whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean.
But is this going to raise a problem? Because we have seen this with UNM football, with UNM basketball. Ticket prices go up, no one shows up. I don't see it being a problem for United, it could possibly drive some people away, being, hey, I got four. Like, yeah. One of my friends has already been saying, dude, I got four kids, or two kids. I can't afford to pay for four people.
Well, if you renew, you're grandfathered. You're paying the price.
Yeah, you're paying your. But I'm just saying, like, yeah. They're even talking about raising single game ticket prices next year.
Oh, yeah, they are. But I mean, like, the thing is like, again, like, so we know that it's going to renew. I think they have about 4,000, 5,000 season ticket holders. I think that's what the number was. But I don't think it's going to deter anyone. Hey, you guys want a Major League Soccer team, so, you know, like, I guess you have to.
I don't want an MLS team.
You don't, but no. People want that, so I mean, you're paying a whole lot more for.
And this will be a topic of discussion for years in any sport. That's why they were saying there'll never be an NFL team here, there'll never be an NBA team here, because I paid for nosebleed section for the Bronco game $110 a seat in the nosebleeds, and that was the cheapest, and that was even with a discount. That I got, and you know, that's an NFL game, that's in a bigger city. But if you bring that down to Albuquerque, unfortunately, no one can.
Well, Chris, you say it's not going to deter people. Me, family of five.
Well, it's going to deter. You're not.
I'm not going to buy.
Yeah, you're going to look for the Groupon for
Groupons, whatever. You know, single game.
Because they're even talking about raising the burn seats prices from 10 to 20.
That's why
I get it. The club has been successful. They want to build the stadium. They want to bring in better talent. That's the whole purpose of the club, you know, bring in talent, develop it, move it on, you know, build a bigger stadium. People are clamoring for a soccer-specific stadium. They've got to generate the revenue to have the money to back that project.
Yeah,
you know,
just keep buying.
But I think it will deter some people
at some point
from going out.
I just think it may be too soon to have raised the price. Maybe
if it's
year three
that steep of an increase, yes. But I could see going up, you know, $15, $20, $25 a ticket.
It's like stupid apartment rate.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, I'm talking, you know, my section is $329. It's going to $449. Do you know what I mean? So
see, even that, I mean, especially because here in New Mexico, not everybody makes a lot of. I mean, a lot of people do have good jobs and they make very good money. But if you're an average schmuck like me, you know, it's who's living paycheck to paycheck, you know, you hear $30 a seat, you're like. Well, that $12 Disney Hulu ESPN package is looking too bad right now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
So and I get the comfort of my own home. I don't have to worry about parking.
Yeah,
you know. So and then that parking $10, you know, parking spot. That's just. I mean, granted, you know, going to a professional game, you're paying $50-$60 to park your car, but
that's
I know you got to think concessions and all that. Yeah,
yeah.
At least get some decent porta potties.
Tickets going up is inevitable.
Yeah, it's just a matter of whether it was going to be right away, and maybe they'll just stick with this between now and year five.
Wow.
You know, if it's every year, then it's not going to be good.
At least for season tickets, there's payment plans, so it makes it a little
better. Okay, so that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for the question, guys.
That's it? All right, that's going to do it for our full-time fan Q&A segment of the show, brought to you, of course, by Roadrunner Law Firm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these words, this time from Roadrunner Law.
Say that, old boy.
Where's the call, ref?
Yeah, that should have been a yellow.
They just never seem to get it right.
And the game continues.
If you have been hurt or injured by someone, you deserve the right call. Roadrunner Law Firm specializes in personal injury cases and wants you to get the right call. Raise up a yellow card if you've lost a loved one due to wrongful death, been in a car or motorcycle accident, been hurt by a drunk driver, or been hurt due to negligence of others. If the right call was not made, we'd like to hear from you. For more information, visit our website at www.roadrunnerlaw.com or make the call to Roadrunner Law Firm at 505 844-443-2121. Welcome back to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. Here are your hosts, Seth and Chris.
Thanks, Josh. We are back again. We're going to close out our show tonight like we do each and every week. We are going to take a look at Lobo Women's Soccer and soccer around the state. So Lobo Women's Soccer, I think they kicked off their Mountain West schedule, correct?
That's correct.
What happened with the women? Pokes.
What's that?
Gets the Pokes is what they call them.
The Cowboys. Yeah. Well, they split those matches. They lost 1-0 against Colorado State on Friday, and then they won 3-0 against Wyoming on Sunday.
All right, so not the ideal way to start the season, conference schedule off. Anyone stand out in these two matches?
In the second match of two. I mean, the first thing about Colorado State is that Lobos had 15 shots, six were on frame. So, though they had dominated that sort of part of the team sheet, they couldn't put one in. But in the second match, Gwen Malley, Jesse Hicks, and Jaden Edwards each scored a goal. That was each of their second goals for the season. So, in that match, 16 shots, 8 on frame. I got to see that one. The one against Colorado State, they didn't have video stream for, so all you could really do is go off of the play-by-play, but watching the match against Wyoming, I mean, they dominated that match. There was a scare at some point as far as Wyoming sending a ball ahead and it being a 1v1 shot with the goalkeeper. But, I mean, they played as a team, and their defender ultimately just tracked the ball and kicked it out. So that's how it's looking right now. I mean, goal leaders for the team, you're looking at Edwards, Hicks, Molly, Leilani Baker, and Alicia Garcia, all with two goals. So
it sounds like the ladies are—they're putting up some numbers. You know, they're performing. You know, at times. I mean, do we have any idea of predictions for the rest of the season so far? Like, what
they're,
do we have?
They're projected to finish third in the Mountain West. I mean, every team right now is 1-1. With the exception to UNLV, they're 0-2 or 0-2-0, right? So they've lost both their matches. Boise State is 2-0, so obviously that's the match. That's the team that we talked about a couple weeks ago, being the team to beat. And New Mexico has them on October 13th, so I mean a week away, right? So that'll be definitely a good indication on probably the rest of the season at that point.
What do the ladies have coming up?
So coming up, I mean, they got a match on the 4th, this Friday, and it's against University of Nevada. It's at 7:30 p.m. It's their Pack the Pitch nights. And then on Sunday, they're playing UNLV, so that's the 0-2 team. And it's a 1 p.m. game. It's their pink game. So I'd imagine, I haven't seen the details, but I'm guessing it's tied into, is this breast cancer awareness month?
Yeah, definitely.
So it should be just wearing pink. I'm sure they'll have pink shirts for sale and things like that to kind of support. So I'm sure we'll see more information on that.
All right. I mean, how are... So you said they're coming up in Nevada. Nevada, you said they're 1...
They're 1-1.
1-1-0. Yeah. And is that just not conference play? Or
That's just conference play that I tracked their record. I didn't look at their overall, but, you know, at this point, we're just mainly concerned about Mountain West.
Okay.
Lobos are 5-4-0 overall. So.
All right, so UNLV, they're 0-2-0 in league play.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, it looks like two matches that the ladies could come away with 3 points from each of them and definitely, you know, make a statement as they head deeper into the conference schedule.
Yeah, these are going to be critical matches. I mean, obviously you hope for an upset for Boise State, right? So.
Yeah. All right. Alicia, what's going on with local soccer, with the high school soccer?
Right now, number one ranked in the state is Cibola. They're at an 11-0 record. And in their league, they are 1-0. And second is La Cueva. They're 8-1. But, I mean, and last year, state champion, they're currently at 20 in the state.
Okay.
Which is Sandia. So I have a feeling... Cibola might end up taking state this year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do we know anything about the men's soccer around the league or around the state?
Nothing. I don't have anything for it this week. No. They did start this last Wednesday. I'll have to check standing. So just to kind of get a feel for what the schedules are.
All right. So at least a couple weeks ago, you mentioned there were some fishy things going on with Metro. Were you able to find anything out about that?
They stayed quiet and never said anything as if it never happened.
Really?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So they just kind of swept it under the rug and just
said,
it happened.
It happened. Yeah, so. It happened. It's whatever. So.
All right. Sounds like a bit of a cover up there.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little bit disappointing to say the least. But yeah, I mean, I think that's going to cover all of our local stuff that we had this week. Anybody have anything else they want to throw out there before we get out of here?
FIFA 20.
Joker's coming out this week.
I will be back in the broadcast booth. If you guys want to see me for Global Hockey Network, starts this Friday and Saturday, 8 o'clock on the Global Hockey Network on YouTube. You guys can check us out. Support local guys, because the more you support your local teams, the better this city becomes. So check out the Global Hockey team. They started the season rough. They're 0-2, but they're like to get back on track. Against Colorado Springs, the Mountain Lions are back in to the $3 million renovated outpost.
So speaking of Global Hockey, did anyone follow the Ice Wolves?
A little bit.
It's not looking good.
No, I haven't really followed them. I know
0-5.
0-5. I thought I saw something on the news the other night talking about it was the end of the season already.
No, they had their first home matches.
They had their phone. Yeah, they lost to Odessa, unfortunately.
Okay, I saw
4-2 the first night, and then 3-1 the second night.
Okay, yeah, I barely caught it. And it said something. Yeah, I couldn't believe that it was the end of the season already.
Like, no. Maybe the end of the tournament that they were in.
Oh, okay.
They went 0-3 in that tournament, unfortunately. But
that could be
I'll be on with JJ Buck on Friday talking local hockey. So JJ is a big fan of us as well. So he's always there talking to us in the press conference. So me and JJ on Friday.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Be sure to check that out. Real quick, I just thought, have we heard anything about the club soccer? How's the club soccer doing?
Ooh, I have not heard from them a little bit.
No, I think they won their first match, right?
Yeah, they won their first one. Let me see if I can find something. Because they haven't really had much. They haven't been posting much. They've been looking for a coach for a minute now. Let me just see.
Well, I was trying to pull it up here, and I can't really find.
It's UNM Club Soccer on Instagram.
Yeah. So I know that they were. I saw that they had a schedule come. They had a schedule they put out. I think they won their first match. So I was just kind of wondering if we heard anything about that before we get out of here. If not, that's perfectly fine. But yeah, I mean, it's been a weird week for some of us. We've had good weeks. Our teams are here, there, and everywhere as far as how their forms are doing. You know, so just looking forward to the last few weeks of the season here. So let's see. I have, looks like they're on Facebook as well. September 20th, on the road again against ACU out in Phoenix.
I can't wait to get on the road again. Sorry.
No, quite all right. You just do what you do. So. I see stuff here, but I don't see scores. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen any score lines.
All these kids on their social media and they can't even update a score. Come on.
So if anyone listening out there knows what's going on with the UNM club soccer, let us know. We'd love to, you know, get some exposure to the club and bring some attention. Hopefully get some folks out there to watch a few matches.
Yeah, so. I just shot a text to their president.
Okay.
We'll see.
So yeah, let us know what's going on and we'll definitely talk about it. That's going to do it for us, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight. Of course, you know, our show would not be possible without our sponsors. We want to give a huge thank you to Drown Motors, Roadrunner Law Firm, and Salt Yard for their continued support of us here at Seek and Strike. And, of course, we're always interested in teaming up with anyone that supports what we're doing and supports New Mexico United or any of the local sports teams as well. If you'd like to talk sponsorship with us, you can, of course, email us at seekandstrikecollective@gmail.com.
Yeah, and to listen to all our previous episodes of We Are Seek and Strike podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and CastBox. If you hear something you like, please consider subscribing so you never miss an episode. And if the platform allows you to leave a review, please do so. We definitely could use that sort of support to get us out a little further for anyone who's a New Mexico United fan. For all of our Seek and Strike Collective social media tags, check us out on our website, seekandstrikecollective.com/social media.
Well, guys, that is going to do it for us here tonight. We will be back next Monday at 8:30 p.m. Mountain Time for Alicia, Seth, Chris, and myself. We are Seek and Strike Collective, and you've been listening to We Are Seek and Strike Podcast. Good night, everybody. We'll see you next Monday. Forked into your venom was lethal.